The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, Professor Diane Manica.
Well, it's nice to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Mm-hmm. Professor Jason Roach is here, and I was going to mention to him, because I thought of you the other day. I met a guy on a group that I'm working at in my parish, and he's like, I'm Dave Nielsen. I used to play for the Steelers. Like, that was his opening line.
Wow.
I was like, geez. He kind of looks like that, too. And I was like, oh, one of my colleagues at work is a big Steelers fan. He's like, oh, whatever. So, anyway, I thought of you.
Well, thanks for thinking of me.
You know, it wasn't that bad. You know,
no, absolutely.
Not at
Two
all.
Two plays went the other way, they could have won.
Yep. So, and winning in Foxborough is not easy to do.
Especially when your headset doesn't work.
Jeez. I'm telling you right now, the Patriots are going to go down in the history books in the worst possible way. Across the table from me, Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. I see that you mentioned the Lions before, and you do have your Honolulu Blue on.
Yeah, sort of.
It's pretty close.
Close enough.
Got to say, pretty close.
They'll be fine. Not too worried yet.
Stafford's coming into his own. We'll see what happens. I often wondered what Professor Dan Maggio's favorite NFL team is.
I don't really have one.
I know, that's why.
When I was a kid, it was the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But
Dan Marino.
You know, so remember they used to sell those tall, skinny metal trash cans with a...
Yeah, one
of those. And,
for Dolphins.
Yeah. My brother's a Steelers fan.
Nice.
Big time. And my other brother, the Browns, because we grew up near there.
Sure, so.
But I don't really watch football.
That's all right.
Speaking
of areas that have had a long dry spell of NFL success, Cleveland definitely comes to mind.
They're kind of,
Maybe not. Oh,
Cleveland's got a dry spell of all their sports, don't they?
I think they did a ranking of what was the saddest sports city as far as dry spells, and Cleveland, I think, was number one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're pretty lucky.
As far as they have had no...
Mm-hmm.
Wait, didn't they just win? The Cavaliers win?
No,
they lost.
They came in second.
Yeah.
But they had great joy when LeBron re-signed.
Yeah, that's true.
That was their win.
Yeah, that was their win.
But their famous line is from the movie Zombieland. Oh. I got to go take the Cleveland Browns to the Super Bowl.
Wow. Wow.
A euphemism that you probably don't want to go with.
Professor Kendra Evans is here, and I know I'm going to get this wrong, but I'm prepping it so I feel slightly better about myself. You are a Broncos fan?
That is correct.
Oh, I remember correctly.
I am the Broncos fan, yes. My original homeland, back to birthplace, was Colorado.
Wow.
So we moved then from Colorado to Nebraska, which has an excellent college football team.
Yes.
Perhaps many, but one that sometimes is ranked. And as you might know, no professional team. So then we stuck with it. Then we moved to Kentucky.
There you
Nothing there. So now I have to have, I really feel a little compelled to have like just a small allegiance to the Lions.
Of course.
But the truth is, as you probably know, Professor Mayo, I do really feel happy when they win. And I feel a little sad when they lose. But I don't actually follow anything that happens throughout any of the games themselves. I did used to when I didn't have children and other distractions.
Mm-hmm. That I understand.
Makes
that
a difference.
I understand. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. Frankly, it's been a while since we've had a good football set. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@unimercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at unimercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. When last we were together, we had some anonymous questions written by Anonymous, and those questions were about Sherlock Holmes. I had asked you to name two of the four Scotland Yard detectives who appeared in Sherlock Holmes stories. The one I was going for that's very, very common, even though I know there were others, was Inspector Lestrade, which is definitely one of the big ones.
Hmm.
But Gregson, Hopkins, and Jones were the other three that were.
Jones.
And Hopkins.
We heard Clive. We heard
Nigel.
Yeah. Nigel. Yeah.
Yeah. And Scotty and
David St. Albans.
Yeah.
Here are some very famous quotes that Sherlock Holmes says in his stories. Let's see if we can fill in the blank. The grand thing is to be able to reason
Deductively?
No. But actually, you're on the right track.
Without passion?
Mm-mm. No, just one word. Just
reason.
One
word.
Is it an adverb?
Does it have a vowel?
Just blew my mind. You want to buy a vowel? It's going to cost. I will use a chemical analogy, and then Professor Evans will land on this. I believe he's referring to, you know, the solving of crimes retrosynthetically.
Oh, no. You're talking about synthesis. Well, that's not my field.
All right.
Retro deals alder reaction?
Well, but both of you plus Professor Roach are really close. Backward is the word that he used. You have to reason backward from what happened to where you are now. Okay. There is nothing backward. More deceptive than an blank fact.
Irrelevant?
Incorrect?
Mm-mm. Something that is very plain might also be termed...
Obvious?
Obvious. Oh. There's nothing more deceptive than an obvious fact. Mm.
Like Jones.
Indeed.
Yeah, Jones. Or Clive. Yep.
I am blank, Watson. The rest of me is mere appendix. One word.
Oh, I was going to say pancreas? Oh.
Well, it is a body part. It is a body part that he mentions. I am blank, Watson. The rest of me is mere appendix.
Frail? It's not
nope.
a body
no, no,
part.
No, no. Nope. It's a body part.
Brain?
He says, I am brain, Intellect? Watson. Oh. Mm-hmm. The rest of me, mere appendix. I should never blank, lest I bias my judgment.
Pay cash.
Drink.
No, it is not drink, but it is a one-word verb, something that some of us choose to do, and perhaps Professor Roach has more recently done.
Guess. Cheat and steal?
Play?
Wait, what did you say?
Yes.
No.
Hope?
No. In your life plan, Professor Roach, you have semi-recently done this act.
Marry.
Marry. Oh. I should never marry lest I bias my judgment. I did a very poor job. Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. And, after 1 year in, I can understand.
Only one. Wait, when's your anniversary?
May 14th.
Okay,
so a year and 2.5 months.
A year and a few 3 months.
Hell, what she got married on May 4th.
Mm-hmm. May 25th.
You could have said, May the 4th be with you.
That would have been cool.
Hey, wait a minute. Speaking of which, what's the second anniversary? No, what's the second anniversary present anyway?
Paper?
I think that was first anniversary,
first.
Actually.
So remember, we had that one question a long time ago.
Dry leaves.
Tin foil?
No, no. Do you guys remember the third anniversary? It was the leather anniversary. We had that question once.
Okay.
Moving right along.
What did Sherlock Holmes describe as, quote, the daintiest thing under a bonnet on this planet, unquote, from A Scandal in Bohemia?
That was
I believe
Rachel McAdams' character.
Rachel
in
McAdams'
the movie.
Character.
Do I get partial credit for naming the actress that played her?
Yeah, I'm going to give you partial credit. Absolutely. Even if you didn't respond.
Yeah, I didn't really. I only watched the movie once. I didn't care for that much. I don't like Robert Downey Jr.
Really? No. I loved those movies.
Him and Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I don't know why.
If him and Tom Cruise were in a movie together, that would be like double poison for me.
Can we throw in Eddie Murphy and have the trifecta?
Oh, my God.
With a little golden child?
I don't think that they could be in movies together. Like, for them.
This is just for Dan. Just to torture Dan.
Her name was Irene Adler. Does anybody remember Irene Adler's formal occupation?
Chanteuse.
I don't think that this matched the Robert Downey Jr. movie very well. I don't remember what she was there.
She a journalist?
Nope. She was an artist of a certain kind.
Artist. She was a sculptor?
She was not.
A painter?
Nope.
She couldn't have been a cartoonist.
Artist.
Graffiti artist.
Dancer.
Closer to one of Professor Evans' undergraduate majors.
Oh, musician.
She wasn't a musician, though, but close.
A dancer?
She wasn't a dancer.
Ballerina?
What else
a
did you do?
Composer.
An actress.
Nope.
What else did
Those
you do?
Those are the main three.
You got the music connection.
Composer?
She was a vocalist. She was an operatic contralto.
Oh, no. I think you can call vocalist musicians.
Yeah.
I believe so. Mm-hmm. We'll give you credit for that.
Thanks.
In what story did Holmes utter the famous line, "Elementary, my dear Watson"?
The Hound of the Baskervilles?
Huh? Yes,
nope.
No.
That's incorrect.
Encyclopedia Brown meets the Wolfman.
Dime Knots. This is so great the way you came up with that. There was a Scooby-Doo toy at a local fast food merchant during the summer. And I'm like, really? Just out of the blue? Something from my youth? What is this? I don't understand. Professors, he never says the line in any of the printed text that was written by Arthur Conan Doyle.
Was that Basil Rathbone in thing? Or?
You know, it says in The Crooked Man, because this is all about the literary Holmes, he says elementary in reaction to something. And in The Resident Patient and in The Cardboard Box, he says, it was very superficial, my dear Watson, I assure you. And that's about as close as it gets. Mm. So it's sort of like Captain Kirk never really said, beam me up, Scotty, you know. It's just an impression. Holmes' brother Mycroft was often consulted at his club. Do you remember the name of the club they went to?
Mycroft?
Mycroft was his brother's name. Yep.
It's almost like Microsoft.
Yeah.
Was it the something men's club or the...
It's actually a Greek name. A Greek name. Starts with the letter D. If if you stretched it just a little bit, it sounds like we're talking about having two pieces of genetic material.
Dinome?
DNA? What?
Yeah, the Diogenes Club is what it was called. Yeah, that's what it was called.
I don't remember that.
Two pieces of genes.
How many of the 120 stories does his brother Mycroft appear? Sherlock and Mycroft, those parents are brutal.
Yes. Man, they must have been picked on in school.
I think it's not many, maybe 18.
Three is what it says here. It was very, very
close. You were close, not many.
Closer than any of the rest
of us. See, on TV, I've read the many quote books, but on TVs, Mycroft is in, I think, every episode.
Oh.
With a Benedict character.
Cumberbatch, okay.
Pretty much.
How many episodes of Happy Days did Richie's big brother Chuck appear in?
Two.
That's it?
Three or two. Or
the very first two, right?
Yeah.
And he's always mentioned.
He's in jail now, you know.
Is he?
Yeah, right.
Drugs. In what story do these letters appear, and what is their significance? ETAOINSHRDL. ETAOINSHRDL.
Sounds like my last plane ticket. I mean, you know, like where am I landing next?
ETA.
In what story do they appear?
Estimated time of arrival.
What is their significance? I actually remember this one, so I'll be honest and say I did Encyclopedia Brown in the beginning, and then I did graduate to Sherlock Holmes. My grandfather was very excited because he loved the books and got me the one thick thing that had every single story in it.
That's pretty cool.
And a lot of it was really boring. I got to say, like, not all of them were crackling.
Nope.
I graduated from the Hardy Boys to the Three Investigators.
Oh, sure, of course.
They were good.
I have no idea.
You're going to have to think about those letters while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Let's pick up where we left off. Who is the partner of the original Human Torch?
The Sparky. Human Match.
No.
Sparky is right, isn't it?
No.
It's something like that.
No, he masqueraded as a snowblower. It's a brand name.
The Prince.
The Toro.
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 Oh.
Toro.
Oh. Got it.
And both of them cried out, flame on! And they wanted to turn on.
Sarah has a wonderful story about flames.
Oh, yes, it was a story of Tennyson's youth and his mother, who her headdress caught on fire, and she telephoned for the butler and she said, James, I'm on fire! And he said, I'll get Amy right away. Because apparently it was the lady's maid's job to put her mistress out when she was on fire.
Different unions.
And we are back with some more anonymous questions about a very well-known non-anonymous fictional character, Sherlock Holmes. We left with the question, in what story do the letters ETAOINSHRDL appear, and what is their significance?
Elementary? No.
There's only one thing that I think I can give you, and it was a conceptual clue. What if I told you there was a direct correlation to the TV show Wheel of Fortune?
Like to buy a vowel?
The most common letters in the alphabet?
Yes, they are in the order of the most common usage of letters in the English language. It was from the story The Adventure of the Dancing Men, which was one of the very few that had a nice little lithograph that came with it. The Dancing Men were little cartoon stick men that basically were capital letters disguised as cartoons. And then when you took their heads and their feet off, it actually spelled something out. And he solved a big cipher that way. So it's just something cool.
Quite clever.
Yeah, like Vanna White really works anymore.
She just has to press the touch screen, you know. It's
best job in
the
town.
Digital.
No more
how many more years are they going to do that?
Lots.
Until the ratings stop coming in.
Seriously?
Oh, that's the truth. I got to agree with that. I got to agree with that.
Can't they bring somebody else in?
I'm surprised H is...
No,
so,
because they get sued.
In Scrabble, H is worth 3. R is worth 1.
Really?
One would think that H would be after R then. And L is worth 2. And D is worth 2.
Hmm. No, the L and D is worth 2. I think L is only 1.
Maybe.
You're weird. Right. Weird.
Odd.
Last question. Holmes demonstrates perfect knowledge of 5 languages, and they're actually listed here. They want you to list them, but they're connected to the stories where he demonstrates that knowledge. Not that important, but what might you think are the 5 languages that Holmes would know perfectly?
English,
French. English,
Canadian, Swahili,
English, French, not Canadian.
Darn!
Is one of them Eastern European?
Eastern, not really.
Arizonan. Oh.
Nope. No German.
French.
Spanish.
Wait, oh, he said French. Yeah, said,
well, no. German.
French Portuguese. And English. German. I just said Italian. I'm an idiot. Italian and?
French, English, German, Italian, Spanish. Latin.
Latin.
Latin. Good one.
I was just about to give you the dead tongue, live tongue joke.
That was a quick conversion from Spanish to Latin.
Thanks.
They are related. They are related. We have a set of questions. It's pretty interesting stuff, and it's actually freaking me out just an eensy-weensy bit, because a few minutes ago, Professor Roach mentioned what bird was first domesticated by humans, and you said passenger pigeon or messenger pigeon.
Carrier pigeon, yeah.
Carrier pigeon. So here we have a set of questions about these pigeons.
I wonder if one of them talks about the city in Michigan where they were exterminated.
Really?
Near where somebody takes a vacation near the big crucifix.
Oh, jeez. Well, got to keep that in mind. This is based on an article from the journal The Living Museum. Curator of zoology wrote an article about passenger pigeons, messenger pigeons. What else do we know about these pigeons? See if you can answer these questions based on an article by Illinois zoologist Meredith Mahoney about what she calls the icon for wildlife conservation. So they simply don't exist anymore.
They're delicious. Oh.
Oh, my.
No, no.
Very much down the root of the dodo. Okay. What did the passenger pigeon look like?
A bird?
Any smart aleck who says, like a bird, has to bring donuts to the next session of ATP.
Sure, why not? I'll bring donuts.
That'll need to be edited, but you know.
It'd be easier to say, how did it look different than a standard pigeon?
Right. You should be able to name at least 2 of the 4 things that differentiated them.
Smaller head, bigger wings, fat tail, 5 feet.
A long tail, actually.
They have
one of them.
Little hat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did they have a first class section and a coach?
No. You're bringing cider now.
No. They had a particularly blue back and wings, very, very bright, a rusty bright red breast, and fiery orange eyes is what it says here.
So we don't see all colors there.
We get 1 out of 4, though, so, you know, I mean, we're doing all right. They were said to be able to fly how fast? Holy smokes.
Pretty fast, like 173 miles an hour?
That is a
little
fast.
Lower than that.
I think they would be in
64? 60 miles an hour?
It says 60 miles per hour here. That still is dang fast.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
With or without a tailwind. Oh.
This is the best continuation of our football discussion we can have, because the American Chemical Society puts out these wonderful weekly YouTubes making direct connections to things that happened in the news last week with chemistry. And the most recent one was helmets in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And Little League, Pee-wee, what do they call it? Pop Warner football. Third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders. Direct helmet-to-helmet contact can be calculated to be 30 Gs. Wow. I want you to think about the fact that when you're on a roller coaster, if you pick up a couple extra Gs, you're like, whoa, and you feel like you're going to throw up. 30 Gs. Whoa. And I'm thinking about this. How does this thing go 60 miles per hour? Imagine if this thing hits something. That's going to be one dead bird, man.
My glass window.
So wear your helmet, little pigeon, that doesn't exist anymore.
Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah. No, they went into extinction in Petoskey. Yeah.
So long story short, with regard to the ACS video, they said that you can comically think about adding more and more padding to a football helmet, but no matter how thick you make the shell of an egg, you shake it hard enough, it'll scramble. And I was like, that is a very potent analogy.
Ooh, wow.
You think about all these poor old NFLers who are dying early and Junior Seau's
Hall of Fame
induction. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very sad stuff. Let's try to lighten the mood. Does anybody know the Latin binomial nomenclature for the passenger pigeon?
I didn't even know there was one.
There is.
The only Latin I know when it comes to animals, like watching Roadrunner and
Pigeonus.
Pigeonus,
Birdimus.
Well, the first word is ectopistes, for whatever, but something that birds do.
Migratory.
Yeah, it's ectopistes migratorium is what it's called.
Wow. So,
wow.
Pretty good. Pretty
birds
good.
Don't molt, do they?
No. Reminds me of the old days when all the degrees that we gave out were Universitatis Detroitensis and everything was in Latin.
I want one of those.
To what specific geographical area was that pigeon native?
North America?
Tennessee?
Specific place in North America. Oh. Not a state, just a general region.
Northeast.
North Carolina, Tennessee range.
It actually says east, just a general eastern.
Thing. Eastern.
Oh. So right. On the other side of the mountains. The old, old Appalachian Mountains. In what geographic locations would you define most of the nesting sites? So let's talk about there are one province and three states.
Ontario.
Where we saw the nesting. Ontario for sure.
Michigan.
Michigan was one of them.
New York.
Pennsylvania.
No. Wisconsin's the last one, but three out of four is not.
None too shabby.
How do we know that there aren't any left? That's what I want to know.
It's a good question. We really don't.
They don't, just because they haven't seen one in a long time.
Wouldn't it be cool if they're like hiding out with Bigfoot somewhere and Bigfoot just protects all the endangered
species?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
That's heartwarming.
Thanks.
It says here. At the height of their population in the United States, 1871, a Wisconsin nesting aggregation was discovered to cover 850 square miles with some trees with over 50 nests in them during the mating season.
Wow.
Right next to the car wash.
Exactly. Just try and wash a car.
So they got along with each other then, I guess. If they could build houses,
they
could.
They're hanging out with Bigfoot. I mean, they should be able to.
Large flocks devastated crops, as you might imagine.
And cars. So
the pigeons were hunted aggressively until restrictive hunting laws were created and enforced. In what years were the last known shootings of wild pigeons taking place? Just try to get a three-year, four-year window.
1911?
It's actually a little earlier than that.
Oh. Earlier? Let's go later.
1885?
A little later than that.
1895?
I have 1898.
Close to
that
the
would
turn.
Have been
turn
my second guess.
Let's see. So, large flocks, devastating crops. I'm guessing if you have that population density, even if they were the most gentle creatures ever, they probably ate somebody's soybeans and corn and went nuts. Not a lot of mosquitoes in that area, though, I bet. That's all.
Or worms.
Yep.
Or clean cars.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep coming back to that.
I'm sorry. There was one time I was driving around Belle Isle just to show some friends from out of state, and the Canadian geese just decided to fly overhead and bombard me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
In what zoo were the last few passenger pigeons in captivity held?
Lincoln Park Zoo, Chicago?
Nope, but it's relatively Midwestern.
Bronx Zoo?
St. Louis Zoo?
Columbus Toledo. Zoo.
Nope.
Toledo.
Further south than Toledo.
Cincinnati?
It was in Cincinnati. At the time, it doesn't give a year, there were two males and one female hatched, and they lived 29 years long.
Ooh.
Pretty unbelievable.
And they couldn't clone them back then, huh?
Yeah, that would be the way to do it these days. Who knows what they'd take over if we brought them back into the picture, right?
Well, they'd take over FedEx, they'd take over UPS, they'd take over
the internet everything. Would have been slowed by years.
Just a couple questions left, at least interesting questions, right? When, on what date did the last passenger pigeon, the known passenger pigeon, die?
1927?
It was actually earlier than that.
1915.
It was 1914, September 1st, so over 100 years ago. I have a pretty good idea that there's just not that many of them left anymore. And bonus credit, I'm sorry, this is a great question. I really have to try hard. You already noticed that Anonymous was able to predict your snark, Professor Chow.
That was impressive.
When I read that.
I want winning lottery numbers next, doggone it.
That was really in there? I thought you made that up.
Oh, no, that was absolutely in there.
They obviously listened to the show enough.
Do not accept like a bird or like a pigeon. Bonus problem is, what was the name of the last passenger pigeon?
Cecil.
I mean, you got to say something, right? It was not Cecil.
Bruce.
Same name as Mary's sister in the Bible.
Martha.
Martha is what it says here. So
I was waiting to go Clive and go down the Scottish route again.
Nigel again.
Johnny Mattress or whatever.
Oh, my gosh. Very well done. Very well done, professors. Let's see. What do we got here? We have all sorts of wonderful questions. We have some questions from Frank Onwenu. I know we saw him in here last year, didn't we?
Was it?
Frank Onwenu.
Frank has a nice little hodgepodge here. What kind of material was the Declaration of Independence made of?
Parchment.
Seriously? That close? I was hemp, right? Is that what
close
you said?
Enough, yes.
Oh, okay. What did you say? What did you say?
Parchment.
Oh, parchment. Okay, sure. Hemp, whatever. Partial credit comes your way. I'm afraid it's time to say goodbye, Professor Evans.
Take care.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Roach.
Adios.
Professor Manica.
Bye-bye.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
That was good for the self-esteem.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Our next set of questions comes from Keith Hedrick of Orange, California.
Yes.
Yes, how about that? And he says, I have enclosed 10 quotes. You need to figure
out
who said it. Yeah, right.
Keep hoping.
We'll take it, love.
You were working on your taxes, weren't you?
You need 6 out of 10 correct in order to win.
Okay. 6? This guy has low standards.
Are you serious?
That's good.
That's why he writes to us.
He's a realist.
Who said? I have taken more out of alcohol than alcohol has taken out of me.
Noel Coward.
No, it's British.
Oh.
But it's a statesman.
Churchill.
That's right.
Churchill was at a party one night, and this woman came up to him. You know that story?
Tell it.
And she was being obnoxious, and she said, you know, Mr. Churchill, you're drunk. And he said, yes, madam, that's true, and you're ugly. But in the morning, I shall be sober, and you will still be ugly.
This wasn't Queen Elizabeth, was it?
he didn't know who it was.
I don't want to just read the book. I want to write the book.
I don't want to just work for the company. I want to own the company.
I don't want to just live in the building. I want to design the building.
To some, those might sound like rather lofty goals. Maybe a little out of reach.
I don't want to drive a sports car. Well, I do. I want to engineer one.
At University of Detroit Mercy, those are the people we want. The big thinkers, the dreamers, because those are the people who make things happen. Great things for themselves and others. And if you're one of them, either just out of high school or ready to transfer, UDM will make it happen for you. Call 1-800-635-5020 today or apply online at www.udmercy.edu. It's not too late.
I don't want to just hope for the cure. I want to discover the cure.
University of Detroit Mercy. We want great things for you.
The professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Javon Holland, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miles.